famous Phil Henry Show.
Anything else?
Well, Pacifico in Southern California.
Except for time wasted.
Yeah.
Oh, this is Kevin Gates. I think he's very important. Kevin Gates is extremely important.
It's not called by any means. Well, this is a mixtape for crying out loud. Anyway, welcome to the program.
Girl, you know about mixtape.
I'm trying to get educated, all right, so I don't sound like a complete loon. Every time I come on this damn program, I'm sounding like a loon. Like I'm ready to rip something up or rip something out. Anyway, here is Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman and Phil Henry. Good luck. Thank you, General, and welcome, everybody, to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I hope we're not having any level issues.
Oh, not that again. Are you kidding me?
No, I mean, something's happened here over the last... something mysterious.
I'll tell you what's mysteriously happened, Phil. You need a good going-over. Not you, but the...
God, it sounds like Mr. Henry want to have him beat up and everything.
No, Bud, that would be you that I want to have beat up.
Man, that's beautiful. What a chop.
Yeah.
I'm saying that it sounds like the studio, Phil, needs to have some sort of a maintenance go-over, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a regular... However, this is out of the ordinary. I mean, we do have a regular...
Yeah, sure.
You know, no, we do, but this is out of the ordinary. So, for instance, on the chat on Friday night, everybody said to me, Phil, turn down the sound. You're over-modulating, man. We're not sure how to pronounce that. No, they didn't say that, but I did notice in the pre-show, so we'll keep an eye on that. Welcome, anyway, to the program. Nice to be with you. We had a poker party.
Yes, it was the Compton Memorial.
Yes, it was for Paul Compton, our dear late friend. And we call it the Paul Compton Poker Memorial. This was our 17th.
Was this the 17th?
No way. It can't be the 17th.
No, that'd have to be the 7th.
That makes more sense, the 7th. Where did I see 17? Anyway, although the poker game started before Paul passed on, we used to have it. It was a derby thing that we'd have.
Well, you had that every year from the time you were a little kid, right?
Yeah, you've been doing that since you were a kid.
What do you mean a little kid?
Well, you've been playing poker on Derby Day, you told me, since when?
Since probably in our 20s, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's a long time.
All right, not since I was a little kid.
All right, but it's a lot longer than 17 years.
Yeah, but I don't think that... Anyway, it's the Paul Compton Memorial Tournament. I don't think it's the 17th. I think it's got me. It's got to be the 7th or the 8th or something. Maybe I'm just remembering it wrong.
Now, maybe you don't need glasses or something.
I think you're imagining things, especially since you were back on those ginger beers, weren't you? Just like Ted Bell. You know, I'm the one... I'm the one that taught him how to drink those. But it was really... It was
a very lovely affair.
And we played poker, and Don won the tournament. I forget who won the Derby. And one of the reasons why we're into the Kentucky Derby, I grew up in a horse racing town.
Yes, you should tell people about Arcadia, California, but don't take too long because it's a dull...
Yeah, Phil, there's not much to tell, but please tell about it. Are you guys kidding or something?
No, but I'm kidding, but I mean, how much can you say about Arcadia, California?
Yes, it's an interesting city. But when I encourage you to talk, you're going to go on and on and on.
Phil, it's exciting because there's a horse racing track there, but the rest of it's dull as hell. So just, all right, I grew up in Arcadia, and I used to go to the horse races there.
Hey, y'all doing this thing.
So anyway, that's why we got into horse racing, because we had a lot of friends that...
Well, see, now you're talking too much.
Margaret, do you mind? We had a lot of friends whose dads were trainers. My brother, Dara, went to school with Johnny Longdon's son, the great immortal...
Johnny, being the Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Dara went to high school with his son. Eddie Arcaro's kids... in fact, Eddie Arcaro had a bar up on Foothill called the Talk of the Town. And that's the town. That's my little town of Arcadia. So, yeah, every racing season, we were out there. So it's a fun sport. I've grown to appreciate it. It's really kind of sad what's happened to it.
Now you're talking too much.
Yeah, see, now it's getting it.
Well, I'm going to just finish the thought, if you don't mind.
Fine. Your funeral.
Yeah, Mr. Ange, your funeral.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Your funeral.
I heard you the first time, bud. Anyway, what's happened to horse racing is people are into, with the abundance of Indian gaming, and I'm not blaming, you know, the tribes for all of this. It's just that people, the $2 better is the $2 better. He wants a good, quick, easy game. He wants to go and pull a arm on that one-armed bandit. He wants to go and throw a nickel in a slot machine. Whatever's the easy... And the $2 better was what kept horse racing going. But once they were able to go over to the casino and just start dropping nickels into machines, they don't want to sit there and bet $2 on a horse because, you know, you got to look at a racing form and figure out how good the horse was.
Well, what, you know, that, see, to me, you might as well eeny, meeny, miny, and moe. What difference does it make? What do you mean, eeny, meeny, miny, and moe? What did you just say? What do you mean, eeny, meeny, miny, and moe? What I mean is, well, who, you know, who cares? If you're going to bet, what are you telling me? Didn't you say they got the, what do you call the, daily double and all that?
Well, they got a daily double and trifecta, but you got to know the horses. Otherwise, what are you proposing?
I'm proposing just go eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch Johnny Longden by the toe. If he hollers, let him go. Eeny, meeny, miny, Lafitte, pink eye.
Shit.
You know, nobody knows what you're talking about, General. I propose...
Never mind, I've been talking too much about it, so that was it. So we...
No, I would propose what they do if you want to bet horses. Bet the jockey silks. I love it. I enjoy it so very much. When Frank and I go, oh, look, I love the silks.
What do you mean, jockey silks?
The different colored silks that the jockeys wear.
The jockeys wear different colored shirts. Didn't you see the race?
Didn't I see the scrace?
The race, man.
Yeah, I did.
Did you see the jockey silks?
I'm not exactly looking at a guy's silks.
It's the shirt the guy's wearing, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, they're different jockey silks.
Yes, and I bet the beautiful colors. And I'll tell you something right now. I know a very good friend of mine won an exacta, a $3,300 exacta betting jockey silks.
Oh, bullshit.
Watch your language, please.
You gotta be kidding me.
I'm telling you the truth.
It happens. It happens, believe me. All right, on the program today here on the Phil Henry Show, we are going to talk a little bit about the... Well, Chris Norton's going to come on, and I suppose you could call this mixing radio material with business. Business and radio material as opposed to business and pleasure. He's going to talk about his new film... Which, Bud, what is the name of this thing?
Still trying to get the thing, but it's basically Res Rod's Rod, and it's going to try to get Marie Le Pen involved in it. I mean, a lookalike, you know.
Marie Le Pen? You mean the one who just lost the election?
Yeah, well, you're yelling at me for, man. Not my idea.
Jesus, you know, that Norton is so gone. He's got to have a brain tumor.
He's going to approximate Marie Le Pen in his porn movie.
Well, that's where it's at. You got to take the cultural icons. I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
That's all he said. That's the note he left me, and then it just trailed off.
Give me that thing. Take the... Oh, nice going, bud.
You tore it.
All right, so Jack Bull Norton will be with us. I'm sure he's going to yell at me for that. Dr. Jim Saddle will be on to talk to me about my health. Is that what this is about?
Well, we thought we'd kind of twist it. I think I'd like him to... Because you lost it in the pre-show, so I quickly called him.
Yes, the general ran out of the room. Do you remember when he left?
Yeah.
He ran out to a phone booth out in the street... to call Dr. Sadler and to readjust the material.
What do you mean a phone booth?
I don't have my cell phones in my daughter's car. I don't know where the hell it is.
So he ran out to a phone booth and he called Jim Sadler and adjusted the topic.
Do you mind telling me?
Phil, it's not that big of a deal. God almighty.
Yeah, and then we got Steve Bozell. He's, I don't know what this, going to get less events. Oh, I know what it is. It's that Chinese thing.
Oh, it's that visa thing for rich people?
Yeah. Bozell wants to come on and advocate on behalf... And I say personally, give the kid a shot.
Yeah,
that's all my opinion.
All right, well, we're always happy to have Steve Bozell on the program, folks. So we'll talk to him about that jazz. But first, let's take a look outside at the traffic. When I say outside, let's go out in the highways and the byways and see what's up here with Bob Bacon.
Phil Henry Show traffic.
The traffic out there today, Bob?
Hey, Phil, we are up the freeway right now. You definitely need that. It's going to be raining. Probably rain. A big can of rain as far as the anthill goes. You got fries, and you got my skin out there. The downtown Haight, about 5 miles, 6 miles, 7 miles, and then it drops off the end of the earth. It's flat, and everyone knows Flat Earth Society, because I was talking about today. Hey, up there in San Diego, way, way up there. In San Diego, it's going to be a 12:15 till about 4 o'clock, and it'll be tea time at about 4 o'clock then, and we got a tea time for tomorrow morning, 6:30. Let's go to Skyboy.
Hey, Mom, I got my tea time. What's on my thing?
Yeah, you got a thing.
All right, let's get showers in Dallas. It looks like there's going to be light showers. It's a high of about 63 degrees. Oh, wait a minute, I'm doing weather. I'm supposed to do traffic. And I'm there for this man out there. Hold on, I got an umbrella. I'm going to get him scarred the Porsche van. And here he comes. Boy, it's Sky Baby Sweet Dan.
Dang, and I didn't bring my galoshes. Boy, Sky Baby Sweet Dan. That was close.
For the best that money can buy, go to Flavordon's Cigar and Cigarette Stand at the corner of Belbin, right here in the city of Upshire. You know, when you want a cigar, and I mean a great-tasting leaf, Flavordon's has it, and they've got it in 5 different packages. They're made there on-site. Mr. Flavordon himself guarantees them, and he will not sell a cigar to you until every member of his family has smoked that cigar that he created there on-site. Kids, grandmother, his wife, even some of the neighbors, his nephews, his nieces, they all have to take a puff, and I mean a big-ass puff, excuse me, from a Flavordon. Take a big-ass puff from a Flavordon, because you'll know members of his family have already done that. My name is Terry Hattenbatten. I'm just the announcer. Some people think my name is Mr. Flavordon because I sound like a clown. You know, some kind of a clod that would make those... Nope, he doesn't come out from the work area. He's always there rolling cigars.
Can I help you?
I'll take a pack of Camels myself. The Flavordon Cigar and Cigarette Stand. There's still good old-fashioned service and lung cancer. Only joking. Coming tomorrow, Harvey Wyman returns with news of the world-famous Phil Henry Show with news at the top of the hour.
I'm Harvey Wyman. Join me as I read the news on the Phil Henry Show one more time. That's right. We will discuss events in Franca and the victory of Macaroon and the loss of Lip Job. I can't read that properly.
Harvey Wyman with the news tomorrow, debuting again on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, debuting for a second time. Not really the debut, a return.
I'm Harvey Wyman, and I'll return to debut tomorrow with news, whatever the hell's happening.
It is unbelievable. I can't make this up!
Yeah! Welcome back to world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. So Harvey's back, huh? You know, that's, I like that.
Yes, I think he needs another shot, but I still don't understand why it is we can't, you know, get someone.
Margaret.
Well, you help him read, for God's sake.
Yeah, he's not reading it good.
He's reading it fine, you know, he's had glass problems or, you know, vision problems.
He just needs better glasses, and also he needs to be awake. I think we were hitting him up too early.
We were calling him at 11 o'clock in the morning.
That's too early for him. He's just rolling out of the sack at noon. So those two combinations, I think it'll be fantastic.
And why, Harvey?
Because the guy has been a longtime attorney. And, you know, Margaret,
what's with all the questions? Well, I mean, come on, man. Why him? There's all kinds of news, guys. Have a little respect for your elders. Harvey's a guy that's been around. He's done it all. And he keeps on doing it to the very best of his ability.
What is it with you all of a sudden licking his you-know-what?
Wow.
Well, that's what you're doing, General.
Wow.
Why are you doing that?
Yeah, General, answer the question.
Don't you tell me to answer any questions. Hey. I didn't touch him.
Well, what is it?
Oh, look at you all of a sudden taking their side.
Well, I am kind of interested.
He gave me some legal advice for free, so I said I'd plug him on the show, all right?
Plug him on the show.
Will you filthy little...
Fine, man.
You tell him to knock that stuff off. Come on, bud.
Just fooling around, trying to have a couple of laughs. Just trying to have a couple of kicks in a hard and cruel world.
Oh, brother.
So, that's Harvey Wyman starting tomorrow here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. All right. You guys all heard about what happened in France. They had an election. They have a brand new president. The reason why people were concentrating on this particular election is they feel like it's a reflection of the American election. You know, General?
Yeah, well, you've got the person going toward the conservative nationalist deal.
In other words, the Nazi.
All right, Margaret, take it easy.
No, I will not take it easy.
No, take it easy. You've got the guy who's got the nationalist deal, and then you have the one that's the other one, whatever the hell they are.
Yeah, okay, so it was a... It was quite an interesting election. A lot of people were watching it, and we have on the line with us now Chris Norton, who is... at his studio there in Hermosa Beach. And I know that you're at the... Are you at the film studio, Chris?
Yeah, we're right now at the film studio. And probably, you know, in a... Maybe a little bit more. We'll probably go out probably the rest of the Pelican. I've got to get a drink or something.
Now, when you say film studio, it's a garage, isn't it?
I mean, you know, General...
It's a garage, isn't it?
It's where we do our filming of a lot of important scenes... God, man.
But it is a garage.
Okay, it's a garage. So what?
All right, we're not trying to embarrass you, Chris, but we want to be specific here.
Well, why can't you say it's a film studio that I film the set scenes for some of the most important set movies ever to be?
because I don't want to say that, because that would be ridiculous, because it's not true. I'd rather say, here's Chris Norton, and let's go to the garage that he works in, where he's got a camera, and he takes pictures of naked people.
Oh, man.
Yeah, well, kind of way it is.
You know, Chris, someday you're going to be a very successful filmmaker, but until then...
You know, that's very kind of you, Robert.
Well, thanks, Robert, but, I mean, everybody there wants to see me. Everybody there wants to see me fail.
Now, son, that's not the case.
Yeah, it is. You just want to see me fail, because you think that all I do all day long, all the long day, that I was laying around, I was paddling pony, and I was spanking my ham. And it was. There's more Chris Norton than just jerking the girt, man. There's more of me than just Pat, you know, to the paddle. And
well, I'll tell you one thing you've gotten in spades, and that's descriptions of how you beat your meat. What a dick.
Do you mind, please?
God, General.
All right. Chris Norton with us. I'll take it from here, General. Chris, you're filming this new movie that you've been filming for the last I don't know how long. Originally, it was going to be Climbing Norton Mountain, and now you've got it on Rex Rod's Rod. Is that it?
Yeah, it's going to be called On Rex Rod's Rod. And it's going to feature, I heard you say something that was not quite right, Mr. Henry, that it would have Marie Le Pen. No, it's going to have all female world leaders, only they'll be hotter. Than the way they look.
What do you mean hotter? You're gonna get like actresses look hot?
Yeah, I think so, man. Well, God, what am I saying something you don't understand?
Yeah, a lot of these women are not that hot. You'd get like the lady that runs England. She's hanky as hell.
Hey, man, I'm not here, you know, to do a historical drama. What's going to be accurate or anything, you know. I'm here to do a sex movie. But what I want to do is I want to bring out every situation that says that is inherent in it, you know. You know what I'm saying, Mr. Henry?
No, I do not know what you're saying.
What does that mean, the sex that's inherent in it?
You're doing this movie called, you've changed the name now to On Rex Rod's Rod.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to believe that this is an internationally flavored...
No, it's a political film, On Rex Rod's Rod, because what happens is Rex Rod... Me, I play like the world's biggest, you know,
douchebag. All right. So, what do you play?
You know, General, I mean, I'm not here. When you were in war and you were getting in a tank, you're going to go blow something up. Did I stand there and go, hey, no, you don't blow it up?
What?
Did I stand there and say,
you're not going to stand there, he's going to blow you up?
Son, if you got in front of me during any combat situation, I'd drive right over top of you. All right, Chris, now that we've gotten that ridiculous comparison out of our system, what's the story about?
I'm the richest man in the world, an international, like a Mr. X, and I control politics from all over the world. That's why they say Rex Rod's Rod, because it's the highest point on a political landscape. And Rex Rod has coming into his compound every hot leader. I mean, they're not really hot, but they'll say, okay, here comes the Prime Minister of England, and we got Babe Billingsley is going to play the Prime Minister of England. For Marie Le Pen, we got Suey Slash.
What's her name? Suey Slash?
Suey Slash.
Good Lord.
And then for... the other one, I think there's another female that runs a country somewhere. Do you know which one that is, Mr. Henry?
A female? Well, South Korea?
No, man. South Korea.
Oh, you're a racist, huh? You don't have any Asian women in your films?
Yeah, I do, man, but I'm not, you know.
Don't even go there.
I can't cast a Korean guy, and I got to look high and low.
Don't even go there.
Oh. All right, well, let's just say that those are the two. They come to Rex Rod's compound, and it's very interesting, Mr. Henry, because they chop her in. And we got a lot of stock footage that we borrowed from, like, Internet Archive, and they chop her in, you know. Okay, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, they chop her in. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and so then they get out, and they go to Rex Rod, and they go, hey, Rex, we need your help. I'm Marie Le Pen.
One problem, she didn't get elected...
So what's that?
She did not get elected to the head of to the presidency of France.
Wow!
You didn't know that?
You kidding me, man?
Well, what are we gonna do? I gotta get Billy in here.
Well, what are you talking about, man? You didn't pay attention.
I thought it was a fait accompli. How was I supposed to know? So
maybe read a newspaper or listen to the news or something like that.
Yeah, there's an idea.
I've been busy all afternoon in editing. And I've been doing sound checks, everything. Well, maybe it's like she's running for president again. She probably will run again, right, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, she'll probably run again.
All right, so it's getting ready for the next presidential election. Then they come in, they go, yeah. And then Theresa May, who's the head of England, go, Brexit is not successful. And Marie Le Pen will say, if it would be successful in my country, we're gonna do a Brexit. And she goes, well, what? And she's like, Brexit is going to make it, and it's not successful.
You know, Norton, I got to applaud you. You for being a success. You're a success despite the fact you sound like somebody just took the biggest lead block and dropped it on your face so that you can't say words right.
What's that supposed to mean?
Nothing, man. So, all right, so what's Frexit?
Frexit, man. Frexit is a French asset, and Brexit is a British asset, okay?
Oh, all right. That's the Brexit and the Frexit. All right. And so they're both, they want help with that or something?
Yeah, well, I mean, the Brexit is just the Brexit Breath, which was the movie that we originally did.
Now, how did that one go?
It sucked. So I'm going to redo it and just include all these scenes. And then Frexit is just going to be about having big boobs, too.
Well, there's no how do you make that play? You got Brexit, the Brexit Breasts, as you said.
Brexit, man, not Brexit.
All right, the Brexit Breasts. What about France?
Why, just, you know, the France, for France finery, something like that. We'll think of something like that. But it's going to be a tough one, man, because every time I try to write the script, something changes.
Hey, how about that, man? That's the world. The world does change. All right, so you aren't going to get any feedback, you don't think, some heavy-hitting feedback here. Remember when you had all that jazz going on about Melania Trump? I mean, that was just tasteless.
I know. I changed it, man. I didn't put her in it. You know, and I changed the name of the movie and everything.
Well, it was called Climbing Norton Mountain, and you changed your stage name to Rex Rod.
Yeah, well, but now, you know what? It's better, because Climbing Rex Rod's Rod is the ultimate high point that you climb. So if you climb it on Rex Rod, you've climbed it.
Yeah, there you go, buddy. When you climb it on Rex Rod...
Come on, General, man. You're always giving me... I'm trying to make a lousy buck over here.
Well, look, son, you can make all the bucks you want. And you can make all the dollars you want and all the francs and all the pounds, but you're never, ever going to make a dime on these cornball movies with Rex Rod. Jesus.
What are you laughing at?
I'm not laughing. I'm almost weeping.
Well, I think you've been, like I said, Chris, you just need to learn the craft.
I agree with Robert. You learn the craft someday.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Mr. Henry.
Why don't you tell the truth? That someday is about 30 years in the future, if that.
Oh, what? All right, man, you don't have to have no faith in me.
All right, Chris, but here's the other thing. Make sure that you've got another job.
That's a good point, Chris. While you're learning to be a film director, you've got to have something to fall back on.
Let me tell you what. Well, I get Rex Rod established. What I'm going to fall back on, okay, is
someone's pole?
What?
Well, you walked right into that one. All right, General, thank you.
But you're going to say you're going to fall back on Susie Slash?
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Well, I would fall forward on that.
Yeah, I guess.
All right, Chris, it sounds like you've had a really long day. I'm going to let you go, okay?
Well, thanks a lot, Mr. And don't forget, folks, the Climbing Rex Rod's Rod. It's going to be probably opening sometime in September. And we hope to have it, in the movie theaters by January, February, or March. Maybe March 1st.
Okay, well, and that's called...
That's Rex Rod's Rod.
Okay, buddy, thank you very much. Talk to you later.
Oh, one other thing.
What do you think?
What are you kidding me or something? He's going to get that thing at a movie theater?
Well, he's got some connections. He knows some people, so on and so forth. Try to get into one of the adult film houses.
He's blowing it, man. I mean, all he has to do is drop it like a DVD.
No, he wants to have that live audio, that live audience experience.
He wants a lot of guys with paper bags in their laps. I'm telling you. No, wait. It's not fun. I'm telling you, he's asking for a raid. There's a few of these old film houses that are willing to give him a shot, so we'll see what happens. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
Oh, yes.
Be right back here, Dr. Jim Sadler. It's about time I take my annual physical, I guess, huh? Be right back with Jim Sadler on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, we'll be right back. Okay. Have you ever thought of playing the harp? I'll bet you haven't. And yet every year, hundreds of thousands of dollars can be made just doing this. Believe it or not, there are not enough harp players in the world. Many people want to play the bassoon. Some people want to play the cello. As you know, the electric
guitar.
The electric guitar is very, very popular. And then, of course, we have the bongo drums. Number one on my list. And, of course, congas, drums, bass guitar. You get the idea. Well, the harp has been with us for many, many years, and we hardly have anybody that knows how to do this. Whether it be a dream sequence, a commercial, any kind of a musical need where we have to have... We don't have one swinging dick out there that knows...
All right, cut that, Bob.
Hello, this is Margaret Gray for Sherman's Music School. Learn to play the harp and take advantage of the hundreds of thousands of dollars every year you can make simply doing that. Yes, it's about as mindless as it gets. Mindless and mind-emptying, but very lucrative. You can sit there, staring at a wall, perhaps even being the victim of a head injury. And yet, hundreds of thousands of dollars every year.
You guarantee that?
Of course not.
Sherman's Music School, today in the Valley, Beavertown, and Sausalito. Lunch meats. You can't live with them, you can't live without them. How many times do you hear that sound in your house when you come home with the wrong lunch meat?
Mom, you didn't get Gerstermeyer's.
What is Gerstermeyer's?
Well, it ain't this. It's the third flush this week.
Gerstermeyer's meats, hams, porks, beeves, all of the good solid meats that your kids expect, that your kids deserve, that your kids will demand.
Mom, this isn't Gerstermeyer's.
I'm trying to save a few bucks. Your father said to cut back.
Tell you what Dad can do, he can cut back on the dirty movies. We need our Gerstermeyer's. Nope, here's another one.
That lousy bologna?
A matter of speaking, Gerstermeyer's. For your family's needs since 1861. No one knew they existed then. They didn't really start selling the meats well till 1901, 1902. So for 40 years, it was just... Gerstermeyer's. Get it. On my phones. What's the
matter? Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show in El Pacifico in Southern California. Here now is Phil Henry.
That's me. Don't wear it out. Don't wear it out. I like that. What's your name? Bob, don't wear it out.
You remember that? That was one of the more... Of all the childish things that we engaged in, that was...
That was at the very height of it.
No, I would think racing down a city street at about 150 miles an hour... Crowded with Christmas shoppers, that'd be a little bit worse.
When did you do that?
Oh, don't give me the look, Phil.
I'm serious. Down a crowded city street?
Well, everybody's street raced.
Exactly.
Not in the middle of Christmas season, I didn't. Margaret, did you do that?
Oh, well, look at the two of you. Now you're going to let me twist in the breeze? You're going to let me come out with something like that? I'm here with my pants off, waiting for the ultimate... What are you laughing at?
I didn't say anything.
Come on, let go of it.
You didn't say... I didn't say anything.
I didn't say anything and he didn't. That's a good thing.
So when did you do this?
When did I do what?
When did you go racing down a street?
You know, when we were young girls and we were trying to impress the boys. I grew up in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Phil. Not exactly what I would call Thrill City, if you know what I mean.
Well, that's gotta be Deadsville. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Yes. Well, as a teenage girl, the only way you could really get any kicks, any laughs, I loved street racing. A lot of the girls did. I was out there with my father's. My father at the time had one of those big, ugly purple Chryslers. I don't know if you remember those or not.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of different varieties of them.
Yeah, what we did, purple. Purple interior, too?
Yes. My dad had seen Fats Domino's purple Cadillac and said, I gotta have that. So,
You're kidding.
No, would I kid you? So we used to take that out on a Friday night when my father's out of town and street race it.
And did you beat any of these guys?
Oh, we had, you know, we held our own.
Well, I'll tell you, that's a very dangerous thing. I would not want to encourage any kid to do that.
Oh, well, all right. Thank you very much, Mr. Safety Dog. But what else were we to do?
Hey, you know, I guess that's the question of a lifetime for American youth. You know, what are they supposed to do? If you can't drive 150 miles down a city street crowded with Christmas shoppers, my goodness, what can we do?
Well, don't be cynical, Phil.
Well, Mr. Henry's right. You gotta take into consideration, you're gonna kill people.
I never killed anyone. I shut down a few slobs, I'll tell you that. And a couple of pink slips, too.
Bullshit. You're trying to... Hey, General, do you mind the language?
I'm sorry. You're telling me...
I'm telling you a couple of pink slips, too.
You just spit in my eye.
Yes.
All right, folks, there you have it. Margaret Gray possesses two automobiles.
Oh, I don't know what happened. I think my father had them junked. They went into the trunk of one of them and found a pound of cocaine.
Are you kidding?
Yes. You ought to see Phil right now. He's walking in circles. He looks like he just had a block dropped in his head.
Blowing. All right, let's get back here to Dr. Jim Sadler on the Phil Henry Show. Dr. Sadler has been good enough to come on the program and talk to me about, about your hypertension, for crying out loud.
You look like you're ready to lose it, Mr. Henry.
Well, it's been a couple of really tough weeks, I can tell you that much. All kinds of crap to do. Dr. Jim Sadler in San Diego. What is it exactly, Dr. Sadler, you want to tell me about?
Well, Phil, we saw you on the pre-show.
Yes, the pre-show, you were losing it.
You were talking all about this and that. The website wasn't right.
Right, and I got the phone call from General Shaw, and he said, have you heard Henry? And I said, no, I haven't. And he said, well, turn it on. And I said, turn on what? He said, the radio. And he's not on the radio. He's on the internet. And he said, well, then wait for it to download and then listen. And I said, why don't you just have me on right now and I can listen.
All right. So you heard that I had a little meltdown.
I heard the meltdown. Yeah. So he came in and put the phone up to the speaker.
Yeah, I wanted him to hear what was going on with you, because you were flipping your lid.
That's when he went out into the street to the phone booth.
Yeah, I found a phone booth.
Right. Very, very good of you to do that. I wouldn't know where to find a phone booth.
I don't know too many people that just leave their cell phone wherever and say, oh, that's okay, I can use the phone booth. I didn't leave it wherever. I left it in my wife's car, or my daughter's car, I forget which. But there's a phone booth outside. What do you want from me?
Well, the point is, I was able to hear you. And, Phil, you gotta... Man, I'm telling you.
You do, Phil.
You gotta relax. You're gonna, you're a man now who could have a stroke. And if you have a stroke, did you ever see the guy?
Well, I'm aware of that.
Yeah, no. Did you ever see this guy, Kirk Douglas?
Holy Jesus.
Yeah, that guy had a stroke in there. He can't even talk good.
He can't talk good. And you saw him, right?
Yeah, you're a doctor. Is there another way you can put these things besides he can't talk good?
All right, I'm sorry, Phil, but it's a little early for me. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't get up till 2.
Why do you sleep so late?
Because I happen to keep late hours.
So you are working that late?
No, I'm not working that late. I'm out drinking.
Jesus, what time do you get to the office?
Let's talk about something else, okay? Because it's really... I got people listening right now.
So you're going to be obviously not getting to the office till like 3 or 4, huh?
Can we talk about something else right now? I got people listening in. They're in the other room. You can hear them.
Or did we call your office?
Yes. Sarah, close the door, will you, for crying out? Close the door. I got a waiting room jammed full of women out there who want to see me for whatever reason. So,
Dr. Jim Sadler with us. All right, well, then don't waste too much time with me. What is your diagnosis? What is your recommended treatment?
Well, what I say to all of my men who have a very, very tense schedule and have so much tension in their lives that they're going to lose it, I tell them, first of all, knock off the booze. I know, but hold on. Close the door, will you? I'm sorry. Yeah, I got the same problem.
Yes, it sounds to me like you're getting a little tense.
Yeah, it must be a very tense time, huh, Doc?
Not particularly, no. It's springtime. All right, where's my medical book? I'm going to tell you right now, Phil, where's my medical book, huh? I put the goddamn thing here. Get the medical book!
Dr. Sadler!
Oh, sorry.
Sadler, you were worse than Henry.
What?
I didn't scream like that.
Oh, well, good for you. You got the same... I don't have the problem that you have, pal. You were on the air. Where's the medic?
Dr. Sadler, if I hear you scream like that, I'm going to have to hang up.
Say that again?
What did it sound like?
If I hear the same, Pat's got to hang up. That's what it sounded like. Where's the medical book, Sarah? I told you, she's the receptionist that is such a piece of tail that she knows I don't dare fire her. Thank you, dear. I'm sorry I yelled. All right, Phil. Hypertension is a killer. Man, it'll kill. It'll kill so fast and so swiftly. Hypertension's almost like a hired assassin. It was hired by death itself to creep into your room and just strangle you
Oh, fuck.
Hey, Dr. Sandler.
I'm sorry, Phil, but I got... Oh, what is that? Your daughter's what? Honey, there's curdled milk that was inside the book, in the medical book, and it's down the front of me. That was your daughter's what? Well, you gotta get the goddamn...
You know, Dr. Sandler, we were on to talk to you about hypertension.
I know, Margaret, and I sound like I'm really tense. And you know, let me tell you this much. I am normally a very cool, calm, and collected guy, but I got the goddamn milk. Don't bring the kid in here. All right. Wait a minute. I sat in something. Oh, Jesus.
What is it?
Oh, Jesus. It looks like I shit myself.
What the hell is going on with you?
Oh, thank God, no. Is that the chocolate mousse? Oh, God, thank God. I'm sorry. Phil, in the last 60 seconds, the weirdest stuff has just happened. I had curdled milk go down the front of me. That was from the baby bottle from her daughter that was here. And then, apparently, there was a chocolate mousse pie right here on the seat of my chair. Was left there by one of my patients as a gift. I sat in it. I got up. I saw all this brown, it looked like feces, and I said, and it smelled like it too. Well, now it smells okay now that I know it's a pie. See, it's psychological. When I saw it, I thought it was, you know, came out of my, well.
I think we get the idea.
But then when she told me that it was a mousse pie, I realized, it smells pretty good. See, that's what happens.
Can I just ask a question?
Yeah.
When you sounded like you had just seen, like you'd witnessed one of your legs being amputated.
Yeah.
It was that bad, huh?
What would you say if you got up from a chair and you had defecated yourself and you didn't even know about it?
Well, what are you getting all upset for? It didn't happen to you.
No, but it reminded me of a time I did.
I don't know what to tell you, but I'll tell you one thing, Dr. Sadler.
I don't know what to tell you, but I'll tell you one thing, Dr. Sadler. Man, you whipped that right out.
I'll tell you one thing, Dr. Sadler. In the last 5 days, there have been more guys getting on this show, men, grown men, bawling like babies.
Well, that's the tension that everybody's under.
Okay. I'm not on here crying.
No, you're not on crying, but you're there. You're yelling and screaming like during the pre-show you're screaming.
Yeah, we're screaming and yelling, Mr. Henry, about the website and everything.
Babbitt Henry wants to get a website right.
There's no reason to get... You can get the website right and not lose it right there on... Because, you know, the pre-show, Dr. Sadler, is a video cast.
Oh, I know. I've seen it. I said when General Shaw said Henry's losing it, I immediately went over to my computer and turned on the webcast because I knew it wasn't on TV and I knew it wasn't a radio show, so I did the next best thing, and I saw, and I couldn't believe it. You were really going out of your mind. I've never seen anything like that before in my life. Wait a minute. Oh, my God!
Will you come on?
I'm just kidding. But see, that's kind of what you sounded like.
No, that's what you sounded like when you sat down on the mousse.
When I sat down on a mousse?
In the chocolate mousse.
In a chocolate mood. That is exactly what I'm...
Dr. Jim Sadler on the Phil Henry Show. God damn, man.
No, Mr. Henry, you can't use the Lord's name in vain.
Oh, I can't, really. I didn't know that.
Well, not right to do. Well, it is kind of crude, Phil.
Next time you want to call somebody up to tell me how not to be tense, don't call him, because he's got nothing but problems. Sadler has nothing but problems.
Why do you say that? I generally find Dr. Sadler's advice to be very good.
You do, huh?
Yes, Phil, you have to look at me like I'm the dumbest thing you've ever seen.
Well, I'm telling you, that guy, Dr. Jim Sadler, has nothing but major, major problems. Mental problems, emotional problems, probably physical problems.
God, I had no idea you had such hate in your heart.
I don't hate the guy. I don't hate him. Did you hear him? He's talking to me about hypertension, and he reacts to a chocolate mousse on his ass like he crapped himself, and he's ready to have some sort of psychotic break. So... Next time you guys think that I'm too tense, make sure you get somebody on here. Like, how about Dean Wheeler?
What about Dean Wheeler?
Well, that's a cat that's like Mr. Meditation, isn't he?
Well, yeah, Mr. Meditation. But understand, Dean Wheeler was in prison for heroin addiction.
He didn't go to prison for heroin addiction. Went to prison for dealing heroin.
Well, yeah, but same thing.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't call... Well, wait a minute, you're right. I thought I was going to call Dean Wheeler.
Yeah, you want to call up a guy that's a junkie?
I just don't think of him as a junkie anymore. I know he had those problems.
Dean Wheeler went to prison not only for drugs, but for beating up his wife. All right?
Well.
No, not well anything.
Hey, son, that's a very serious crime. I know that, but he's better now. He does yoga. He's one of the top yoga teacher in every place.
Man, yoga don't even exist.
Yoga is like his own invention.
You know a better yoga teacher.
Who? What do you mean a better yoga teacher? That guy came up. That's like me saying, hey, I'm the number one guy at Floozy.
What's that?
Exactly. What are you people looking at? See, all right, let's take a break. We'll be back. Steve Bozell coming up next, folks. He's going to be talking about this visa program. There's a visa that has been pitched in China by a member of the Kushner family, Donald Trump's son-in-law, that rich people can buy and they can come and live in America.
Oh, this is that $500,000 visa?
Yeah. So we're going to talk about that, and Mr. Bozell is going to advocate for that. As you know, he's a big, big Donald Trump fan.
You know, I'm a big Donald Trump fan, too. And I will say this, there's got to be a good reason for it. I can't for the life of me understand why he would offer something like that unless it's fantastic.
Well, what about the guy's just a douchebag?
I'm going to... Hey, come on, man. I'm going to be right back in a Phil Henry... Just come on. Be right back. Phil Henry Show. PhilHenryShow.com. My hoes pretend they love me. All my baby mamas hate me. You're a baby. You're having fun. Suddenly, you see your dad fall down some stairs. What do you do? The new baby phone. The baby phone helps interpret baby talk so that when the baby calls emergency line, the operator will understand. Hello, operator.
Hello, Dad.
Uh-huh. I got you. What street? Elm Street. We'll be right there. Yes, the new baby phone can help in emergency situations. So when you're sitting there enjoying life and you see Daddy go, well, take a big tumble, what do you do? Call on the baby phone. The new baby phone from Runco.
The baby phone speaks English language, other languages. Talk then. Talk to the operator and get your dad to pick his ass and pick it up at night. Call the ambulance and that too.
Baby phone available now for $9.95. Call 555-555-555. You get the drill. That's baby phone 555-555. You get the drill. Poisterman, Pennsylvania. Well, you've married a young lady that you love very much, but one thing she can't do is cook. And when you hear her say,
Jerry, I made your favorite dessert,
your reaction's gonna be. Well, you can help her. Send her off to Sally Barton's cooking school.
Hi, I'm Sally Barton. It's good to see you. I'm going to teach you how to cook. I'm going to teach you to cook things you've never cooked before. And your husband is going to love it. He's going to love it. He's going to love it.
Sally Barston will teach you how to cook delicious meals like souffles, steaks, potted pies, all kinds of things that you've seen and heard of but would never attempt in your wildest hallucinations to make. That's
Sally Barston's
cooking schools.
Opening May 31st. In Talladega.
Here's a sound you won't hear anymore unless it's you after a long night of drinking. Sally Barston's cooking schools.
I'll teach you how to cook.
Woohoo!
You'll cook all right.
Welcome back, world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. We haven't even told you about the bar fights yet, man. We got a bar fight happening right now over on our our fan page at facebook.com/PhilHenryFans. And it's our last preliminary bout between Pastor William Rennick and Chris Norton. I didn't even talk to Chris about that fight.
Well, you just slipped your mind. That's what we're saying. You're hypertense, Phil.
So Chris Norton fighting Pastor William Rennick here in bar fight number 4. And now we will have, after this week's fight, I should say, we'll have 4 qualifiers for the semifinals. The seeding will take place, and then we'll let you know. Margaret, don't be chomping at the bit here.
I want to know who I'm up against.
Well, I'll tell you right now, Margaret, I think, you know, you're going to be up there in the top 2.
I think I should be number 1.
You'll be in the top 2.
Yeah, and just let the fate take its course, whatever.
Well, who's deciding these seedings?
Myself and the General and Bud and Robert.
Oh, boy.
I told you that. So after this week's fight, so go over there and vote for your favorite fighter. Give us the reason why you think that fighter will win. And then you go into the mix for when we do a drawing for our free download at our website. So go to facebook.com/PhilHenryFans, PHANS, and vote for your favorite fighter, man, in Bar Fight. This is Bar Fight 4. Woohoo! Steve Bozell joining us from Corona, California, and wanted to get you on the phone, Steve, because you're a very, very big supporter of President Trump's. This is a very controversial move that he's made in that he has, and I believe he signed this bill into law, didn't he?
When you say you signed it into law, you signed it.
This visa bill?
Yeah, he signed that into law. There's no problem with that. I mean, look, you know, as President of the United States, you can do an executive order.
All right, so he does an executive order that allows people to pay $500,000 to get a visa.
Well, here's what's going on with China. Chinese, we need them. They're the key to Korea. They're the key to all that area over there. And what we're trying to do is keep them chilled out and, you know, so they'll play ball on a variety of topics.
Like what?
Like what?
Yeah, what topic? What, they're going to play a ball on what?
They're going to play a ball?
They're going to play ball on what?
What are they going to cooperate on?
Well, first of all, they're going to chill out in North Korea. They're going to go over and talk to those N-words and tell them chill right out.
I don't like the N-word thing.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm just... they're going to do that. And then they're going to talk to Japan and tell them cool down.
What do they got to talk to? What do you mean Japan cooling down?
Well, Japan is probably just scaring China a little bit. So they want to cool them down. And I'll tell you something, Mr. Henry. Going for Donald Trump has not been the easiest thing in my life. I have been laughed at. I've been pointed at.
Yeah, you've been laughed at and pointed at. Join the club, friend. You know, that's the nature of politics in America.
Well, okay, nature of politics in America, maybe so. But when I voted, I remember for George Bush, I didn't have people pointing and going, look at it going down the street, you know, and going, ha, 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 look at it.
What do you mean pointing at it?
That's exactly what they're doing.
Well, who's pointing at you?
Well, three guesses. I mean, I got Roy Hutchins, my next-door neighbor.
Roy Hutchins is your neighbor who has been taunting you and has been bedeviling you for years. You're going to have to expect that.
Well, yeah, but then I got my mama. Hold on for a minute.
Would you slow down, Bozell? God, every time you come out of here, nervous as hell. Talk about a guy that needs hypertension release or something.
I need what kind of release?
Talk about hypertension.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, so you're being laughed at.
Yeah, I mean, and then I got Cliff Pettigrew, who's my crew chief, one of my own employees, and that's a guy who is at least two rungs below me. I'm the owner of the company. Then I have I got my general manager. Then I have my site foremans, and Cliff Pettigrew is one of them, or maybe not, you know?
What do you mean, maybe not?
Well, he goes between being a site foreman and being just a framing carpenter.
Well, what is that based upon his performance?
No, sometimes I want him on a job that I already got a site foreman on, so he just is a framing carpenter, and sometimes I need him to, you know, be the foreman on a job.
So he's a pretty valuable guy.
Not so valuable that he gets to go, ha, 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 you know, that kind of stuff. And I'll tell you something right now, Mr. I've got children, and when they see somebody say, hey, Steve, who'd you vote for? And I go, Donald Trump, and they shake their head, and my children see that. That makes me look like I'm some kind of a piece of shit.
Better watch the language, sir.
I'm sorry.
It makes you look like you're a piece of what?
Well,
you don't have to repeat that.
And
so it's very hurtful.
It's very hurtful. Roy Hutchins lives next door. He said to me the other day, I hear you voted for Trump. I said, you know that I did. You know that I did because I've told you a million times. Roy says, well, I voted for him, too. He says, yeah, I voted for him as the ugliest man on earth. And we had an ugly man contest. And he goes, ha, 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 and he walked away.
Well, that's not even funny.
I know it. I told him. I said, that ain't even funny, Hutchins. But all he wants to do is hear me cry.
If this kind of thing makes you cry, Mr. Bozell, I think that you need a little bit thicker skin, okay? Because you're going to have these... You're going to have these detractors. Now, really, what we're talking about is something that's worthy of discussion, but it doesn't necessarily mean you made a lousy vote. What we have here is a visa program where rich people...
Now, that's what I'm talking about, letting the tension off. Number one, you know that China was a communist country, and now they have millionaires all over the place. Why? Because democracy and capitalism has won, and they're about that close to being full-bore democratic over in China. Just got a couple more things they need to do.
Yeah, they got to get rid of their secret police, open up the internet, stop pulling people's fingernails out.
You know, General, I'm afraid you don't get it.
I get it a lot better than you do, Bozell. You say there's just a couple of more things they have to do. Over in China, they...
Well, listen to you getting all like you know what's going on.
I've studied this problem. In China, they've got all kinds of money, you're right. And they have all kinds of material things. And they've got big cities and this and that. But they don't have... a freedom. And freedom is the most precious thing there is.
Yay! Yay!
Thank you.
Oh, now that was real pretty. Real pretty indeed.
Yeah, you got something to beat it?
What the hell?
You got something to beat it.
Okay. Here, try this on. Put this on and see if it doesn't fit tightly around the crotch area.
Okay.
Jesus.
Whatever that meant.
Yeah, I lost my place.
Yeah, probably thinking about my crotch area.
What an asshole, man. Mr. Henry, I demand that you tell him to apologize.
General, come on. Oh, will you give me a break, Bozell?
I demand that he...
I'm sorry.
When I took that job, when I voted for Donald... All right, let me get up to the present day. I was going to start out when I took the job. That's 15 years ago.
Yeah, get it a little closer to what we're talking about.
All right, so Hutchins says this and Pettigrew says that. Now, what's going on in China is this. It's a country that can be a very good friend of ours and can cool out a lot of stuff and make everything just chilled out. But here's the thing that's got to happen. They need a little bit of, they need some love. And Donald Trump is just the guy to give it. Here's a guy, he can give the love and well...
Yeah, Donald Trump can give the love all right.
All right, if that's an oral sex reference.
Excuse me, but I've had about enough of this. Spit out what it is you want to say.
That man there just made a blowjob reference.
Hey! Now, I'll give you 5 minutes. Maybe not even that.
The Chinese, we got to grease the wheels, man. Otherwise, we've got 1 billion people, man. We got 1 billion people. You know how many that is?
So you're... now I see what's going on here.
You know how many that is?
What is wrong with you?
1 billion people?
You're afraid of the big yellow horde. You're one of those paranoid people.
Oh, my God, Mr. Henry's just been racist.
No, that's what they used to call it. That's what they called it, and that's probably what they still call it. You're afraid of the Asians invading and taking over everything. That's been a fear of Westerners for hundreds of years.
I'm not afraid of the big yellow horde.
Well, your voice cracking just betrays that, Steve.
My voice isn't cracking. God damn it.
Yeah, it is. Better get some water.
Get a drink of water, man. Steve Bozell with us. You know, this whole fear of the Asian horde and the fear of the yellow horde, and they've got 1 billion people. Can I tell you a quote from Mao Zedong? A quote from Khrushchev when he was talking to Mao Zedong.
I'm back now. All right, so...
What's the quote? He said, Khrushchev said to Mao Zedong...
Hold the phone here. I'm back. I got water in me. I'm good, okay? You're talking about the big yellow horde. I want to... I remember Joni Mitchell did a song called Big Yellow Taxi. A lot of people didn't know what that meant at that time. They thought it was Joni being a hippie and she's dropping off a boyfriend or something. Big Yellow Taxi in the years since the Big Yellow Taxi release, we now know that Ms. Mitchell was trying to tell us something. She's trying to say the big yellow, but she couldn't say horde because the liberal friends and all the goody two-shoes, all the hippies. So she said the big yellow taxi came and took away my old man. All right? Her old man represents Western culture, and he was subsumed by the big yellow...
Boy, I'll tell you, man, whatever it is you're smoking, please, please sell me a joint.
What? I'm trying to tell you about me.
All right, so big yellow taxi, big yellow horde, what's the upshot?
The upshot is that if we play ball with China... They chill out Korea. They chill all that thing out there in the South China Sea. They start opening up their markets big time to our businesses. Nobody can scream at Donald Trump for making this stuff over in China because now the work conditions have improved. China is a complete democracy. They got 1 billion people who are living happily and in harmony with American people. They drive Mercedes and they drive Lamborghinis, and they're in this big country with all kinds of, pagodas and stuff. But they're, other than that, they're Americans. Ain't that what we want?
You know, Steve...
Ain't that what we want?
All right, Steve, I'm going to let you go.
Why?
Because you got as much a problem with hypertension as I do. Only you're starting to cry.
And you, by the way, you had a quote about Mao Zedong at...
Stephen Bozell on the Phil Henry Show.
What was that quote anyway?
The quote was this. Mao Zedong said to Khrushchev, I got a 10 million man army. And Khrushchev said, in the nuclear age, that's nothing more... Then it's basically smoldering flesh is the way he put it.
Oh, my God.
But, I mean, that was his point. He said, in the nuclear age, your army, the number of men in your army doesn't mean anything.
The Chinese have got the nukes, too.
Yeah, they got nukes. Don't worry about it. And you know something else? They know how to use them, friend. You can know that.
Oh, yeah, man. What are you all
Oh, look at this guy, man.
Oh, you're a real armed forces expert.
I read a little. I seen some things go down.
All right, bud. So what is the upshot? Do you agree with Steve Wozell in this relationship question with China?
I'm telling you right now, the Chinese have seen us coming for years. They're not going to play ball with us. They're going to just size us up and be all smiley and go, have a Chinese lollipop or whatever they're going to sell us. And in the meantime, they're sizing us up for a big bullseye right on our back.
What a cynic.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it.
So you don't trust them?
Not as far as I could throw you, all of you out there.
All right, Bud Dickman, folks.
Well, isn't that just wonderful?
Nice going, son.
What a load of crap.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Bud. That was pretty heavy.
Well, you were in China. What do you think?
I don't have any opinion anymore. When I was in China, man, it was totally different. It wasn't even the same country. Now they got cars and stuff. When I was there, it was bicycles. And, you know, I mean, it was the...
So they've grown up a lot in the 30-plus years.
Yeah, I think they've grown too fast. I think they've got a lot of modern stuff, but just under the surface is an infrastructure that's kind of funky, man. I don't think that it's... I don't know how to say this, but I don't think that the country is going to... Just in terms of infrastructure, is going to stand very well. Is going to... what's the word I'm looking for here? Is physically in good shape. That was a lovely segue there. This is the Phil Henry Show, and we appreciate you guys listening.
If you want to hear Phil speak on China, he'll be appearing at Nowhere.
We'll be back tomorrow. Nice to see you, cats. Don't forget to vote for your favorite bar fighter. In the current bar fight, it is Pastor William Rennick against Chris Norton. Go to facebook.com/PhilHenryFans and vote. Give us the reason why you think the way you think and get in the running for a free download. We'll find out who wins the fight. Then we got the semifinals coming up on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
World-famous Phil Henry Show, executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One.
Open doors. Party ammunition, they can all night long. We can go. I've been around in bitch, I clown. I'm in the rounds in this clown.